Nor Academy is now recruiting. We are looking for smart players who are looking to learn small gang PvP in an immersive training environment, in a program designed for new pilots as well as grizzled 00 vets. Learn the ins and outs of merc life, including efficiency and ethics, hostile nullsec survival skills, FCing, and more. As one of Eve's oldest and most respected mercenary outfits, Noor runs a tight ship, but we always strive to have fun doing it. If you want to be part of a high-end merc PvP organization that always strives to be better tomorrow than it is today, Noor is the place for you, and Noor Academy is the place to start. Apply today through our forums at noormercs.com.
Welcome to the Declarations of War podcast. This is episode 31. Thanks for tuning in.
Our hosts this time around are Alexei F. Card, Ninja Turtle, myself, Alex G, and our special guest this week, Angix Thermopylae.
Hey, good evening.
Moving on to some shout-outs. I'm going to give a shout-out to Factor, Uli Confederation, and CVA for providing a thrilling chase through Providence this weekend. Felt like I hadn't roamed Providence in like 6 to 8 months or something. So it took a small pack of 5 frigates in there. We killed a Tech 3 battlecruiser and a stealth bomber. Roamed like 3 or 4 jumps down. They were right on the ball with a response gang. Chased us out. We picked up one of their battlecruisers and then burned like a bat out of hell right out of Provi. It was really fun. Probably the most fun I've had all month. So, thanks very much, guys. We'll definitely be seeing you again soon.
Hey, guys. Turtle here. I want to give much love to ex-CCP Loxy now. He's a really great guy, one of the most professional and down-to-earth people I've ever met and had the opportunity to work with. And best of luck to the Loxy Rider. Hopefully we see you more in-game, mate.
Hey, guys. I guess the new troop here. I want to say hello. I really haven't got any shout-outs at the moment, but I'm glad to be here, glad to be part of this evening, and looking forward to what's said tonight and hearing everybody's opinions. So thanks for having me.
I believe Angus' exact words are, "I got friends, but they could eat dicks." Confirm, deny?
Yeah, if they eat blue, you know.
Hey guys, my shout tonight to Gregor Butenstein, a member of Shadow Cartel, listens to this cast, and also to Loxy. What a brilliant parting gift.
Okay, so, like we said in the last episode, we are now advertising on Declarations of War. We're allowing sponsors to put their products, services, corps, alliances, whatever, EVE and non-EVE related, out there for our listeners. If you're interested in that, contact Alexei of Card. You can PM me at our forums if your product is not in-game, if you're not a player. But I figure everybody that's listening, this probably is players, just hit me up in-game, and we'll get you situated. We'll have nice little adverts here, and you can get your message out.
I can do disgusting things on webcam for you. For money.
Oh my.
Diggity.
Moving on to the interview with Angix Thermopylae. Angix is the former executor of Elysian Empire. He was, if not the team captain, one of the team captains of the Alliance Tournament team, which beat us this year. Damn you! And we're very happy to have him here.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, quick correction on that. For the Elysian Empire, I was basically the CEO of the Intake Corporation, so I guess Noor has got a training academy. We had something similar for wormholes, and basically I ran that for a little over a year and a half for Intake Pod. So I wasn't the executor, but definitely had a great time with those guys, and was definitely in on most of the major goings-on as far as what they were up to and the events here lately. Tournament was a great experience, a lot of fun going up against Noor. We thought for sure you guys were going to wind up bringing a Tengu fit, but that wasn't the case.
We had a Tengu 12-man setup. Not going to lie.
Yeah, as soon as we saw the matchup, most everyone that was outside the team was saying, "Nah, they're going to go Drakes and Tengus. Drakes and Tengus. That's all they fly."
Well, you definitely got the Kaldari part right, which, you know, is unfortunate for us, considering you ran an ECM team and we didn't get locks for pretty much the entire fight.
Yeah, it's kind of bogus. You know, we definitely want to bring something different to the table, but we knew we'd have a little more security bringing the ECM fit. If we guessed wrong, at least we would have that big blanket of E-War to keep us safe and cut down on some of the DPS.
You made me feel very foolish vicariously, because although I could not make that first fight, I kind of stamped off on that team comp. We had talked a lot about it, and we were finally decided to go with the Feroxes. And yeah, you made us look silly.
I was going to say, I don't know who your Jaguar pilots are, but man, we chased those guys for about 5 minutes.
I was one of them.
You bastards, man. You just kept out of range. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, we were like, guys, just keep kiting them, keep kiting them. There's like a roll on chance we might be able to make it if we win next week. Just don't die, whatever you do.
That was so bad. We were trying to coordinate. Okay, you go take that side, you go take that side. They're bound to fly to you. Never happened, though. It was great.
And speaking of trying something different, I think it's worth pointing out that we had the first match? Or one of the first matches. So you bringing the ECM setup in the six-mans, you really started the meta in a lot of ways. As I thought for sure no one would go... I knew there would be ECM, but I figured it'd be like Kitsunes or something. I really didn't expect anybody to go double armor rooks and like go all in with ECM like that.
Well, we tried a lot of different fits. A lot of them had holes in them. We just felt like, you know, we had a pretty good Logi pilot in Bryn. And, you know, as long as we kept, you know, at least some of the DPS shut down, we'd be in good shape. Even if we couldn't kill everything, we knew we could keep most of our DPS in the field.
What was preparation kind of like for your Alliance Tournament team? How much did you guys do a lot of theory crafting? Did you have sparring partners, funding? Like, how did that go? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are really interested in the Alliance Tournament and maybe are thinking about getting their alliances involved next year.
Well, it was kind of the spur-of-the-moment deal. We were in a real lull as far as what was going on. You know, we had just moved into the C5. We really hadn't got the ball rolling on anything. So to kind of bring some enthusiasm back to the Alliance, we signed up, you know, for the drawing for the tournament. Just kind of out of the blue. Really didn't have any fits put together or any real driving motivation to do it. But we signed up, and once we did that, shortly after that, we hooked up with a corporation called Posthuman, who used to be in Exhale. We hooked up with those guys. They were not eligible because all this happened afterwards, but we used them as basically our sparring partners. And so we had, you know, part of the time them coming on and proving our fits, and a lot of time disproving our fits. And we just, you know, spent a lot of time on CC, you know, about twice a week. Doing the 6v6s, really struggling to get enough pilots, you know, to do the preparation at first. It was really difficult getting enough people. But as we started getting closer, we saw that, you know, you guys were going to be our opponents. Really started building up momentum. A lot of pilots started logging on a lot more. And, you know, we just started running through a bunch of fits. You know, we had a crazy Ashimu fit at one point that we were thinking about bringing, the ECM fit. We had dual Loki fits. I mean, just tons of stuff. We just kept throwing it out there over and over again. And the guys from Posthuman and other members of the Elysian Horde and the Elysian Dogogi would come out and just fly counter to them and try and beat them. And we just finally settled on that E-War fit. Because it was the one that seemed to win the most, and we had the pilots to fly it. So, you know, I'm sure our path was a lot similar to, you know, what you guys did or what a lot of alliances do, you know, the first time around, like it was for us. So it was pretty interesting. It was a lot of fun. Learned a ton about PvP, you know, and wormholes. Typically, you know, the tactic is warp to zero and turn everything on. You know, that is that's how it goes in wormholes. But with the Alliance Tournament, it was a whole lot different because of managing the range, you know, managing the reps even differently, you know, trying to break away from being tackled and everything. So it was a lot of fun, big eye-opener, and I think definitely anybody who gets involved in that process improves their PvP skills enormously just by through the repetition and through seeing the different fits and, you know, who's doing what, learning to manage your range. It was pretty amazing experience from that respect. I'm just sad that it ended so quickly, really, for, you know, really for both of us.
Well, you know, I would say this to anyone else that, you know, because we had a lot of first-timers this year for the Alliance Tournament. If you went in, that was your first time you lost, do not give up. Do not get discouraged, because you really do learn so much by going through that process. Noir's been in 3 Alliance tournaments now. The first time we had literally an hour's notice, and we just sort of threw stuff together. That experience was crazy. The one after that, we improved. We knew to do some things differently. This time around, I think we had the strongest prep yet, and I really did like our comps. You know, we won our second match pretty handily, although we didn't lowball it enough to get ahead, you know. I thought our comp was strong for the first round, and like Turtle said, he stamped off on it too, but you guys just brought a hard counter and out-meted us on that one. So, you know, but now we learned from that one. We learned to be a little more prepared for worst-case scenarios and things like that. It's a learning process. Most first-timers don't go in there and win. This year being a very notable exception with Verge of Collapse, which we'll be talking about later.
Yeah, those guys are definitely good. In W Space, we've run across them a couple of times, and they always seem to bring a tight group. It's not always the biggest group, you know, the largest force, but usually what they bring is a nice tight fleet. And when you go up against them, you're going to be in a real fight. So we kind of had a feeling that those guys might do pretty good.
Right, and let's transition. How'd you get started on Eve? What was your first thing that you did?
I don't know, man. Bombardment advertisement. Every time I get on the internet, I see this join Eve. You know, so one day I clicked on it. I was supposed to start playing Eve at the same time as a buddy of mine. He actually joined a few days before I did. We started playing. He lasted about a week and a half, then he quit. And then I just wound up kept playing, kept learning. Hooked up with some of the guys from Elysian Empire, or what would become Elysian Empire. Flew with them for a little while, and they drug me into a wormhole, and basically I've been in wormholes ever since. So now that I'm out of the Elysian Empire and coming out, back into high sec, hoping to tag on with a good corporation, I think Eve's been fun. It's been a huge learning experience. Love wormholes. Wormholes are fantastic, but it's definitely time to come out and have a look at what else Eve has to offer.
All right, speaking of Elysium, I don't want to belabor it too much, but talk about how it formed real quick, and maybe talk about a high point and a low point for you of your wormhole career.
Well, I'll tell you what, the high point and the low point are probably the same thing. Most of you guys have watched the great Rooks and Kings Clarion Call videos. Fantastic. They really capture the flavor of wormholes and bring a real dramatic sense. So, you know, those are a lot of fun to watch. Probably the high point that we had was, you know, watching those videos. Obviously, the nemesis in Clarion Call 2 is Aharm. We moved in, when we started out Elysian Empire, it was just, you know, 3 or 4 small corps, moved into a C4. Eventually we outgrew the C4 and we moved into the C6 wormhole space, really before we were ready. We went in with probably 30 pilots and maybe 100 and, you know, 100 tunes, maybe a little bit less. But we went in and we had a lot of success in the C6. We were growing. You know, once you're in those C6 wormholes, you start to attract really good pilots, veterans who have seen a lot of EVE and want to do, you know, something different. And the C6 is the big boy in wormhole space. So that's where we're at. We were able to attract some really good pilots. We really started having a good time. We started meeting some of the other C6 corporations out there. Pause bashes for fun, wormhole invasions, giving them a fight and giving them a run for the money. Well, eventually, you know, there's only so much time that you have in a C6 wormhole before one of the big boys comes along and decides to take you on in a serious way. And that's what happened to us. We were invaded by Norcorp, which is no holds barred. They were also in the tournament. They came in and they invaded us. Basically, the same tactics that were used in Clarion Call, they used on us. Norcorp and Exceed, which is no holds barred, came in, invaded us. They put our pauses into reinforced mode. And basically, we sat there and we took it. They caught us when we were actually out. We were invading another wormhole at the time for some allies. So we were all out in ISEC.
Oops.
And we're working our way back when they invaded. So they invaded. Basically, we couldn't oppose them because all of our capital ship pilots were in ISEC. So we returned eventually, one ship at a time, you know, two ships at a time, just coming into covert ops. And basically, Norcorp had all our pauses into reinforced mode. And when our first pause was going to come out of reinforced mode, they brought their fleet in to go ahead and finish off the pause. And then we logged everybody on and basically headed out with Norcorp. And it was a great fight. I think we had 12 capitals versus their six. They had quite a few more subcaps, mainly Tech 3 Lokis and a few Legions and a couple of ECM Tengus. It was a great fight, but we really crushed them, Norcorp. We basically devastated their attacking force, and they were on the run. Ironically enough, there was a connecting wormhole that we didn't know about at the time. When we went to go close it, on the other side of that wormhole was Aharm. And Aharm came in. Yeah, Aharm came in and wiped us out in about a 10-15 minute battle. You know, K-162 Alliance, which is Aharm, and No Holds Barred, you know, they've got a relationship that you can see throughout most of their wormhole invasions. If you take a look at their kill mails, you'll see that those two operate pretty closely together. So we, after the battle, after we were wiped out, we lost our wormhole. We lost probably 100 billion worth of equipment and time and everything. You know, we could see that basically the best, you know, put forth, you know, their effort to come evict us, and they did. It was a great fight. It was a lot of fun. You know, there's some hard feelings, I'm sure, on our side, because we put in a lot of time and effort. But it was a lot of fun, and that was definitely a high point. And it was a low point, because the day after, you're sitting in high sec. You've got
yeah,
no equipment,
I know that
no
feel,
gear.
Bro.
Yeah, it's just awful.
So now we're going to move on to EVE News. And speaking of EVE News, there have been some very big shakeups in wormhole space, and we're very lucky to have Angix with us to sort of give us the inside track on what's going on there. Exhale and Elysian Empire have sort of exchanged corps here, and Exhale has also picked up an independent German corps. This is a pretty significant shakeup of the landscape. So, Angix, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll give you what insight I have. Just before I left Elysium Empire, they had come into a partnership with Posthuman, which is another PvP corp they had worked with previously. They had started the process of melding together. It was kind of a rough get-together first, trying to, you know, get the doctrines worked out as far as logistically, armor fleet, shield fleet, and so forth. And earlier this week, what I found pretty interesting, pretty fascinating, is that Bite Me from Exhale has left Exhale and has just joined the Elysium Empire, creating really a super alliance inside C5 space that I think could probably rival some of the biggest C6 alliances. And it's my understanding that their intent is to become somewhat like what Narwhals was before, become a mercenary corporation in wormhole space.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of competition in wormhole space, mercenary-wise. There are a lot of good wormhole-only mercenary units that pretty much have that area locked down. But we'll see how that goes. Turtle, why don't you introduce the next piece?
So the latest kids beaten up in the sandbox, AAA just was AWOX'd in a bad way, apparently, by a couple of guys from Bat Country, Goonswarm. They AWOX'd their pauses pretty bad, pretty much stole anything that wasn't nailed down, managed to work seven people into the directorship of one of AAA's industrial corps, which I think as an AWOXing target, industrial corps are pretty much the best way you can go. And so, yeah, they took them pretty bad. Got guys into the fleet and ended up warping the fleet to zero on a Goon Whelp fleet and just...
That's all she wrote.
Yeah, well, Goons, they took a fleet at... From what it sounds like, they took a fleet at the gate and pretty much just wiped them, but then followed them to the station where they knew they were for an undock fight. So they didn't really give a shit about the efficiency. They just wanted the good fight. And they got a good fight. They came out a little bit ahead, but... Man, everybody lost some ships on that one. You can find links to that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's worth noting that not only did they get the alts and the directors and cause all kinds of problems, like setting Goon Blue, so local is all screwed up, the corp that they stole from was AAA's Tech 3 Production Corp, and AAA relies a lot on Tengu and Loki doctrines. That's going to be a pretty significant cost to their war machine, especially in the short term, and with goons right on the doorstep, that could have some potential impact later on. In addition to these exciting 0-0 developments, we've also had the conclusion of Alliance Tournament 10, and for the first time in a while, 0-0 Alliance has not won it. A Wormhole Alliance, Verge of Collapse, took the championship in a really exciting series of final matches. And I am pretty pleased. There were a lot of Wormhole Corps coming into this Alliance Tournament. There were a lot of Corps that were doing it for their first time in this Alliance Tournament. And I think, generally speaking, the matches were pretty competitive at the 12v12 level. There weren't a whole lot of... I mean, there were curb stomps like there are every year, but I really think that competition was pretty spirited and there were more close matches than I would have thought possible.
The Varga set up the entire way through. And then when they beat PL with it as well, PL showed up with the jamming. Oh, beautiful.
That Varger setup was just, oh my god.
I quite enjoyed flying a Vindicator, to be honest. That was a highlight for me.
Yeah, I was going to say those Vindicator fits, are pretty amazing. Great ships.
I never would have bought a Vindicator if it wasn't for the Alliance Tournament. I actually trained the skill on every, like, Mimitar Battleship. I never touched it, but I really wanted to use the Vindicator setup we worked out. And it worked like a charm for that match.
So, like, you can actually fly Windmatar ships. Why don't you?
I prefer something a little bit better than a pile of rust and OP goodness.
Here's gonna hate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have an exotic dancer on a rusty pole. Let me put it like that.
Yeah, haven't been to Mexico, have you?
Yeah, I really feel like there was a lot for us to prove, because our expectations from other people were... And to be honest of ourselves, I guess, we're really high going into the tournament this year. And to have lost so completely in the opening match to Angix's team was like, fuck. You know, and to have CVA as our opponent, our longtime, not rivals exactly, but, you know, we have quite a history with CVA. Some of it antagonistic, almost all of it antagonistic. We did not want to risk losing to them in the same fashion. It would have been a complete embarrassment.
I'm almost glad it worked out the way it did, being kind of impromptu on our part, where, you know, we kind of at the last minute realized that we weren't on top of this, and we needed, if we really wanted to make a statement this year, we needed to be in the tournament. And I'm kind of glad we didn't have all this time to meta, because the time that we did have to meta really drove me crazy. I mean, it was like an intense few months of just constant thought stream and constant research and bullshit.
None of it helped either.
None of it. It probably actually hurt us.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing I think we learned is don't bring the popular fit from the day before.
Is that what you did for your second match?
Oh, God, it was awful. We brought that PL fit and we just got absolutely stomped.
The meta is just insane.
But it can also be kind of fun. I mean, I like planning out setups and stuff. You know, it was cool. I wish that we had more players, like, an Alliance our size, even like Elysian Empire size. I had trouble fielding enough pilots to practice with, even Mildly Intoxicated, who were our sparring partners and who went very far this year. You know, they didn't have enough pilots to field a 12v12 in-house. Not consistently, not in, like, tournament-grade ships. So, it's a... Yeah, I mean, there's nothing saying a small Alliance can't go very far. And look at Verge. They're not a huge Alliance. They still did well. But there's really something to be said for those big Alliances that just have the sheer number of members that they can go in there and have these crazy setups, but do more than just look at them on paper, actually run them fully against other setups they think are going to be competitive and see how it works out.
You're looking at 5 out of 10 guys not really giving a shit. Then 2 out of the 10 being busy, another 1 not being able to fly it. So, you know, what are you left with?
I was pretty pleased with our turnout. I mean, we had, I think, just about everybody that was available, you know, like, who was actually online, was in our skirmishes. It's just, you know, we have a lot of Nor Academy guys now, and while they can do some things well, you know, you can really do a lot of theory crafting with the Alliance tournament that, I mean, how many people can fly all these different ships so much that they can just, you can swap those ships out without having to worry about swapping the pilots out. It's not really that easy.
I was going to say, one of the things I found amazing was, you know, when you send out that mail that, you know, you're in the tournament, you know, some pilots you haven't seen for, you know, forever suddenly start logging on and are interested. Then other pilots you think that you can absolutely count on to be there, you know, just disappear, you know, just fade away. You don't know where they are. So it's kind of interesting because you wind up, you know, thinking you've got a real tight team. At least this was my experience. And then suddenly, you know, you've got a different, entirely different group of people that you're taking to the tournament with you, and then you're struggling to get the numbers on. So it was, you know, it was kind of an interesting dynamic, at least that we had.
I think we were lucky in the fact that our team was small enough and that the directorship is involved enough that we kind of know everybody who was involved, and even the alternates, they weren't just like somebody's alt or something, you know, they were people that we have been seeing for months or even years.
No, I was actually, I mean, the metagame is a huge part. I really feel meta-wise for anyone that was going up against Unreloaded, because you had to have been thinking, if you're like the spy master for some alliance that's coming up against them, and they're using this this triple Varger setup over and over and over and over and over again, and you know they have a backup setup because they played it one match, and to be in charge of figuring out, you know, if this match is going to be the match or they switch it up or if you should go at the counter, it has to be mind-wracking. But, no, as far as our part, I didn't really feel any pressure from spying, and I mean maybe Angix wants to give a big reveal here, but I don't think that he brought that counter because he had some sort of inside track on what we were doing. Just a careful analysis of what we had brought in the past.
I will say one thing to close this subject is the cat's out of the bag. We practiced in Six Taxi the entire time.
Yeah, we totally did.
Well, I'll tell you, we had a we put an alt in your C3 wormhole. You know, we just ran across it. Thought it'd be a neat thing to do, but, you know, nobody was ever online there.
We'll just practice in Six Taxi. It's within scan range of everything, so there's a shit ton of ships anyways. Like, it's too stupid not to work.
And it totally did, for the most part. And then we helped mildly, and they practice in some other syndicate system not too far from 6E, and they had, like, one spy alt the entire time that I saw. So, I don't know, maybe next year it'll be different, especially for Mildly, since they went so far this time. Someone will actually, like, pay attention to them and start spying on them. But, yeah, so congratulations to Verge of Collapse. Enjoy those Black Ops logistic ships that you will never use because you're in wormholes, you sons of bitches. Really like to get one of those. If someone from Verge of Collapse listens to the podcast and would like to sell/donate one to Declarations of War /my EPIN fund.
You can already buy them on CC. Like, you can buy any faction alliance ship on CC at the moment.
Yeah, but that's CC. I actually want to be able to use it. I guarantee you, anyone that has one of these ships and would give it to me, guarantee you will see me in the ship on killmails.
I guarantee you that ship will die.
Guarantee you at some point you will be right, but it will pay for itself, all gazillion billion of it.
In company news, CCP Loxy, a longtime video editor for CCP, is moving on to greener pastures, so it's said. It's worth noting he's been with CCP for a long time. I had the pleasure of meeting him back at Alliance Tournament 5, and it was a very great treat. He's been making some great videos for CCP, EVE, the Alliance Tournament, things like This Is EVE 1 and 2 and 3. And it'll be sad to see him go. It'll be curious to see how they fill the hole, as usual, when somebody veteran leaves the company. But I wish him the best of luck in greener pastures. I'm sure he's going to find him.
Wouldn't be hard. It is Iceland, after all. Green's not really a thing. White, they do very well. Also gray. No, no one went with me on that. Just edit that out.
What, are you just being racist?
No, I'm totally leaving that in, Alec. I'm totally going to leave that in.
I'm not racist, man. I'm a melting pot of friendship, for Christ's sake.
This isn't even a podcast anymore. It's a hate cast.
Well, I mean, to borrow a phrase from True Blood, hate groups aren't just about hating, man. It's also about love and togetherness.
We'll have a talk about the True Blood thing later.
Alright, speaking of being gay, apparently all of Britain is gay.
What?
Yes. And Northern Coalition Dot went to war over the gayness of Britain. Specifically... Alright, so the story is, the links will be in our show notes if you want to read this. They're too long and too ridiculous even for us to go into. But apparently a director in Northern Coalition got really, really, really offended because someone in Red vs. Blue kept referring to him as mate, and him and the other people in his corp or alt corp as mates. Apparently, in this person's world, mate is a slur for gay people. Nobody told England over the past gazillion years.
I'm thinking that it might not be a slur so much as it may be just a very, very literal translation of the word, implying that they have paired off for breeding.
Showing Jews mate a lot as well, so not just Britain is gay.
This is, I feel bad. I was really just trying to fit in with the Euros, and this whole time I've been calling everyone gay.
Well, hold on, Alex, okay, have you been hitting on me this whole time? Is that...
Totally. Totally.
Is that what's going on there? I mean, you know, in hindsight, I guess you could kind of see it, but...
The distance. You couldn't deal with the distance, could you?
I really don't think it would work out, you know? I'm over here, you're over there.
Chop a shot.
I like vaginas. But you'll always be the mate of my heart. Anyway, it went one step further. Not only did this Northern Coalition dude confront, let's say... the Red vs. Blue guy over his slandering of gay people. But apparently he also used a relative who is a game master, and I'm sure this is just chest beating, this is going on in chat, said like he has some sort of relative connection to a GM, and he was getting the guy banned for 48 hours for calling him mate, which is utterly ridiculous. I guarantee you it's not true. And Northern Coalition went to war with Red vs. Blue. Like, Red and Blue Federation.
The both of them. Like, they didn't have enough to do.
Well, they better be careful. Sometimes those sissies can fight.
And to top it all off, goons being goons have hopped onto the Northern... have hopped onto the deck as allies of RBB and are at war with Northern Coalition .2. Hilarity.
It's almost too much to take in. It's, like, overwhelming. You gotta take a breath. And just think, plan it out in your head.
I'm pretty tempted to get in on that too, to be honest, just because it's so ridiculous. But of course, the noir way would be to war deck all three of them. Of course, nowadays that'd cost like, what, $3 billion-ish?
Donate button, insert here.
Yeah, right. Alright, so definitely check out the chat logs and the forum posts there. They are not to be missed. Contract wrap-up. We have three contracts to talk to you about today. First was war against yet another Alliance tournament participant, the Shadow Cartel. And Shadow Cartel didn't do too bad either. But their performance on the actual server, not quite as good. It was 10 kills to 3 losses, 870 mil killed versus 100 mil lost, efficiency 89.25. In particular, the employer was interested in the death of the CEO, or one of the co-CEOs of their main corp, who really liked to suicide gang people in HiSec. Well, Noir delivered, and one of our FCs from the EU time zone, Levitain, probed him down at his safe spot right off the gate, one of the gates leading into Jita, warped in, potted the guy, and stole the tornado that he was about to board to kill somebody. High fives, bonus achieved.
Very nice.
Now, while this was going on, we were also, because it wasn't a super high volume deck, Shadow Cartel are mostly like soloers, just running around, they don't really do big fleets. So I figured that we had not enough going on, so I also took Poco takedowns, player-owned customs offices, and a Mimitar system called Bagalak, owned by Toxic Waste Industries, who are friends with the local pirate alliance. So we roll in there, we're bringing oracles, I think there were three of them. While we're hitting them, next door, our scout reports there's like four or five guys from Shadow Cartel. We're like, whoa, are they trying to like gank us? They're more in the Goynard area, which is down in Galenti space. What are these guys doing here? And we're keeping an eye on them. We all have GCCs, so we can't really go anywhere. And eventually, they all hit the gate. They're in, like, Drakes and Mimitar ships, a nice shield fleet. They jump. They warp. But not to us. They think, oh, they're going to hit a safe spot and then, like, warp on top of us. We're waiting. Waiting. More waiting. Nothing. At this point, I'm like, what? We reinforce another one of the Pocos, we go to the third one, and I'm like, what the hell are they waiting for? So we figure out through de-scanning that they have been running a complex, like a 610 or something, in the system that we are taking these Pocos out in. And because we didn't have probes on us, I assume they thought that they were getting away with something. Well, once we figured that out, we ordered probes to come in. And they were still a ways out when these guys finished, and they warped to the gate. We had them watched on D-scan, so we knew when they left. We had the gate watched by a D-scan, so we knew when they were getting close. Our entire fleet was aligned to said gate. They're warping to the gate, we warp to the gate. They jump, we jump. We only managed to catch one of the battlecruisers. It's a Drake. We kill it. Go to the kill report. Just happens to be the Drake that was carrying all of the loot for that complex, including Overseer's effects and a Cinnaball blueprint. Snip snap. It was sort of a nice two birds, one stone, you know, and after we got that contract kill, we jumped back through and reinforced the last Poco, and they were killed without incident.
Oh, of all the luck for that poor Drake pilot.
Yeah. And he was the last one to jump, too. I mean, there was a scout that jumped, and other people jumped, and then he jumped. You would think, like, after your scout, you'd put the loot next, you know, to get him away from the hostiles that are probably filling up your D-scan as we speak. But, I mean, honestly, they were lucky we didn't catch more than that one Drake. The only reason we didn't is because with GCC happening, we didn't really have enough tackle frigates around. So we were planning on just shooting structures, not really getting into a fight. If we had had multiple interceptors in the area, we probably would have caught two, three of them. But they were good sports, and we talked to them in local toward the end of the contract. It was a pretty low-volume, boring contract all in all, but not bad, you know. It was cool to fight Shadow Cartel while the Alliance tournament was going on.
Mr. G, you want to do the POS contract?
Our POS contract... the Dexter that could have been. We were contracted to take down a large, was it Kaldari Pos in Hysek. And it had, what was it, 18 hardeners anchored but not online in a research Pos. And coming up to the, we dropped the deck on them, coming up to the deck going live, we were really worried they were going to go and online them, so we kept checking them. We had someone round the clock pretty much keeping an eye on the boss. When op time came and the deck went live, they still had not online said hardeners. And structure shooting should. It was so much fun that we decided to conga and cross in our oracles. There is a video of it somewhere. We've posted in the show notes. And Lawson should.
Yeah, I mean, we're not crazy. If I knew that the POS had like 18 hardeners on it, I never would have accepted the contract. The issue was the employer did not tell me there were that many, and I didn't have time to like, he's waiting for an answer whether or not we'll take it. He's got money in hand. I didn't have time to like run it all out to the system right then and there to check. So I just took it on faith. He was giving me the layout of the POS, and then I sent somebody to check it later to just make sure. Well, good thing it fucking did.
Sucker.
So, he wanted this thing taken out. Let me make this clear. His name is Rene Epivarite or something like that. And I'll get into why I'm saying his name on the air in a second. Apparently, the alliance that he is in took some BPOs from him or something, and he wanted us to take out this research tower to, like, revenge it, I guess. The tower had, like, 14 labs on it. Just crazy. Again, he hired us against his own alliance. So I'm like, okay. First of all, while I'm dealing with him, it takes me, like, 10 mails to get the information. Once I finally get it, he tells me that it's just all these labs and a couple dampeners. I was like, oh, dampeners. You know, the sensor dampeners on PASAs don't do shit. Alright, let's do this, man, come on. So we take the tower. Apparently, he meant explosion dampeners, as in the hardener, which, even if it was true, still leaves out the other dozen hardeners on the tower.
Yeah, if a couple means six now, apparently.
Right. So I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to, like, work out with them, like, if these guys online these hardeners, you know, like, that's doubling easily the amount of time that it's going to take to do this job. So, you know, I don't really appreciate that you lied to me about the thing. And it goes on and on for a while. We're bouncing mails back and forth. I'm bringing in the Merc Contracts channel mods because I'm thinking this guy is trying to pull a fast one. We reinforced the tower, like Alex said. No problem. They didn't online the hardeners for whatever reason. We did it so fast that we had time to Congo one of their offline larges in the same system, which is what you're seeing in the video. In the in-between time of, like, when we reinforced it and when I, like, first contacted this guy, like, hey, this is pretty shady. What's going on here? You know, you should really be paying us more money for this. He decided to go into Merc Contracts and start saying how I was just going to take their money and run. You know, is Noir the type of court to do this? It looks like they're going to be scamming me. This is going on here. I told them the information about the tower. Now they're making up that I lied. Blah, 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 blah. Once I found that out, and this is like 2 days, I think, after the tower had gone down. Oh, first of all, one of our pilots accidentally killed him. And by accidentally, I mean this guy didn't say, like, hey, make sure that I'm blue or something to your alliance so I'm not accidentally killed. He just assumed that everyone in the alliance would know his identity ahead of time and to leave him alone, which is not the way contracts work ever. And he was in a war-decked corp because he hired us on his own alliance. He lost the frigate, and a Tech 1 frigate, and then flipped out on my pilot and Merc Contract channel mods because of that. Noir attacked me. You know, they're doing this, they're doing that. I'm like, oh my god. What? So...
Caustics?
No, it was not caustics. Believe it or not. Although I'm sure he was wondering... I think he did ask if he was ordered to be attacked. Or something damn close. Literally. So I am already, like, had it up to here with this guy. And then I find out from Sweet Rack, the contract manager for Double Tap, that he had been in the contracts channel spouting off about this, and he showed me the chat logs. And that was it. I had had enough of this guy trying to basically pull a fast one on us, and then going in and trying to slander our reputation when I called him on it, and then have him go on and complain, like, to my pilots that they're doing their jobs, acting like, you know, I need to, like, pay him not only for his ship, but also for blowing him up and saying that that was breaking contract somehow. This guy was, like, completely down the river without a paddle. So I said, fuck it. This is ridiculous. I was going to blacklist you over the POS thing in the first place. I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I see that I was wrong to do that. So I did. Renee Peverite, good luck hiring people anymore. You've been banned from the channel. Fuck you. And thanks for your money.
I didn't realize all this drama happened.
I didn't either.
It makes it so much more delicious.
We did so much work in, like, the planning and the thought process of when to drop the deck and alarm clock in the reinforced tower and, like...
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. The reinforced timer was, like, 1200 EVE time on a fucking Monday. And we still killed that bitch. killed it so dead. And also, God Squad tried to whore onto the mail because after they saw we decked these guys, they decked them a couple hours later to get on the kill mail for the tower. Well, that technically worked in that they got a vagabond on the kill mail. However, that vagabond was subsequently suicide ganked by us, including his slave clone pod, which was definitely a highlight of our evening. Definitely the highlight of the kill op, and got us a war deck from God Squad because they're just so mad about it.
Honor, dude, honor has been taken, deflowered even, I think is the word.
Their alliance is really cute. It's like some sort of Care Bear research alliance. They would mail, like, random people in our alliance, like, what the war was about, and if we could please stop and not attack them and just talk it out. I'm not kidding. Like, they would mail Nor Academy guys and, like, random people. Finally, one of them realized they were supposed to mail me if they wanted to know anything about contracts. And even then, I was like, it's a contract. There's not much I can do for you, dude. I just thought it was cute.
I'm sure it was entertaining for the Academy guys, though.
They were a little confused. They would forward the mails like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with this. It's amazing to me, continually, that people are just not able to right-click check info in EVE Online. Such a basic thing, I would think. Anyway, not only did I like give him the benefit of the doubt on this, but we still went through and killed the contract, or killed the tower as we agreed. We fulfilled our contract. And he went to go behind our backs and try to pull that kind of crap. Absolutely unacceptable behavior. Fuck you. Bye. Basically. If I had known about those hardeners ahead of time, not only would I not have taken his money, I would not have accepted the contract. He couldn't have paid me any amount. We got lucky that they didn't turn them on. If they did, it would have been a freaking nightmare. So, that whole thing was a mess. Screw that guy. Putting it behind us, but it was also nice to know that we can, in fact, start taking out large towers. Oh, by the way, the alliance that this guy is still in, that he hired us on, he wanted you to pay so bad he gave us $2.5 billion-esque to do it. So you know the exact number.
Yeah, wait till they find out it came out of their wallet.
I'm really surprised he is still in that alliance, frankly. But, what else?
Feel better, mate?
I do. Feels good to get it out. You know what I'm saying? Moving on to This Week in Mercs. Speaking of Sweet Rack and Double Tap, they were removed over some allegations slash... I mean, we get a lot of complaints about Double Tap. But usually it's like innuendo, or they might be doing something. They never actually have done anything wrong. It's just, you know, they always seem to be like in a bit of a gray area sometimes. And finally, one of our channel mods got a hold of something that looked relatively credible, that they might be, you know, working together, essentially sort of like how Outbreak and Hydra were working together in the Alliance tournament last year. That they were essentially one group, they were sharing comms, sharing fleets and information and all that stuff, and God Squad has been banned from the channel twice for scamming. So we were very worried about this and wanted to get ahead of it, so we pulled them. I want to make it very clear that DoubleTap has since come to us and communicated with us, and apparently that's not really what's going on. According to them, that's old, outdated information. They have had a break with God Squad. And I want to reiterate, they've done nothing wrong. There have been no scamming or contract-breaking incidents with Double Tap whatsoever. So, while the Merc contract mods are discussing it, it's very likely Double Tap will be relisted by the time this podcast airs. Still, it's an event that deserved to get mentioned, at least. I don't know if either of you guys have had any dealings with Double Tap and that crew. I know they were supposed to show up for Save Jita and never did, but that's pretty much it. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, it's in all likelihood they will be relisted. In other news, Omniscient Order, which is a very old name in the mercenary game back when... I mean, they were old when Noir started up. And they have taken some time away. They joined PL for a bit and then did some other stuff for a while. They are now back as independent mercs and have joined the channel. very cool. That would be Noob Juice's crew. I believe they're mostly interested in high sec and low sec contracts. So if you have some high-end contracts in that area and we are not available, feel free to contact those guys. Generally speaking, however, the volume of contracts has been pretty low since the Inferno patch. Apparently a fair number of the smaller mercs have gone inactive or have done, like, they've joined faction warfare, but they'll still take, quote, contracts, and quote, that's, like, in their limited area. Like, they'll take out this pass. So, you know, it's sort of walking a fine line. The Merc Contracts mods are currently reviewing whether such units are active, and just doing a comprehensive review generally of whether corps are active, because we want our mercenary listing to not just be guys that won't scam you. That's super important. But it also should be a mercenary listing. Like, these guys are actively seeking contracts. These are Merc Corps. These are Merc Alliances. You can hire them for lots of stuff. Anybody will do stuff if you throw enough money at them. Like, there's no 00 alliances like, hey, I got 100 mil. Go take out this thing for me. They'll probably do it. But this is a channel, a community channel for mercenary corps, guys that make their living off this. And we're just currently evaluating whether or not it's still, whether or not to keep it that way, expand it a little bit, or trim things down so that it fits the initial scope of the channel. Because the dynamic has changed since Inferno quite a bit in terms of the amount of activity that these Merc Corps are able to get, especially the young ones that are only able to do Empire contracts. Moving on to the CSM coverage, breaking news, Celine is alive. He has not blogged in a while. He was dealing with a ton of real life stuff that all seemed to pop up at once. He wasn't even able to do any minutes, which was one part of one of the reasons why they were delayed. Although he is by far not the only person that didn't do anything, and of the people that haven't done anything on the minutes, I would say he has the best reasons. To the point where I don't even hold it against them. Other people, not so much.
Can you name names?
Can I name names? Yeah. Well, Keldum didn't do any. Isler did one, whereas the rest of us had two minimum. Darius 3 is his useless self, as usual, didn't do anything.
Seriously, what is he there for? What is he there for?
Make himself look better, I guess. I don't know, the whole, in my mind, the whole reason he got elected was because he claimed he was doing all these things, and aside from people on the CSM saying that's not really true, there couldn't be anything beyond that. Like, there was no proof, because it was all NDA'd. And additionally, he was scamming for votes. He would be like, oh, vote for me, I'll give you a plex, and I wouldn't give him the plex. And he barely squeaked on. So it's quite possible the combination of those two things is the reason why. And this year, you know, we have a higher level of attribution in the meeting minutes. There's been a higher level of transparency. Hopefully, you know, I really did do things. It's just, it's all lies by the Mitanni to silence me is not going to be a thing for him. And, you know, the CSM-8 won't have to deal with him. Mesa was not around, hasn't been around for a while. He did not do anything. I mean, all this stuff was, all this was posted, who did what, as in the Jita Park. Greenlee did, I think, one session, or was scheduled to do one session, but couldn't actually do it, I think is what actually happened. And then UAX that didn't, because he's doesn't have very good written English, so that's sort of expected. The way it was explained to me is that the CCP guys, if the minutes aren't good from our end, it takes them more time to like fix our mistakes than for them to actually do it themselves. So for the English as second language guys, we sort of give them a pass with the understanding that they'll do a lot of promoting and translating and stuff for the Russian community, which, as far as I know, they do quite consistently. So that's where that is. Speaking of the minutes, they should be out by the time you guys are hearing this. Head on over to the Jita Park forums, check it out. And I am sure we will have detailed analysis in the CSM segment on our next podcast, since that'll be a pretty big event for us to cover. I was hoping, and it seemed like they would be out by the time this was released, and sure enough, today they are almost done. There's like literally one or two more lines that CCP's executive producer is waiting to go over before we get final approval for release. So, the only other news that was relevant, Celine made his return during Voices from the Void episode 51. The link will be in the show notes. He likes to mine in groups, and while he does that, he likes to watch men's volleyball. The more you know.
It's an aggressive butch sport, just the raw sexuality of it is really quite moving.
He also said that he likes to watch movies while he does the group mining thing, and with his interest in men's Olympic volleyball, I can only assume Top Gun frequently comes up when he's doing the mining ops.
Pause, rewind, fap, repeat.
Yeah, then off to the danger zone.
Mining in the danger zone. Paging Dr. Loggins. We've been having a lot of fun since that with Archer jokes and Olympic jokes. Twitter is very fun right now if you guys aren't following it. Hashtag TweetFleet. Definitely follow me at GRRUSSO. And I believe, Turtle, you've got an account. This might be a good time to plug it.
Yep, at SureTT, SCHERTT.
Boosh. And finally, our dramatic reading. When we last left our heroes. 1942 Sniper, a lovable NAR Academy recruit, and Mighty Oaf, M180F. Vet player from a corps that was on trial with NAR weeks prior to his enrollment. We're complaining about not enough traitors being around while NAR was on contract. Sniper tried to find out what to do in these situations. Mighty Oaf, in contrast, carried on, suggested he come back when NAR stopped doing contracts, you know, when the server shut down, and just gave a lot of entitlement-ridden, lazy backtalk and attitude to directors and the Alliance executor in public Alliance chat, resulting in his boot. Now, 1942 Sniper tried to shoot at Mighty Oaf in Syndicate after Mighty was kicked from the Alliance. He was not successfully killed. I think there was a failed tackle or something like that. But it was an interesting dynamic. This is mere an hour or two afterward. Mighty stormed into Café Noir demanding to know if I, Alexei of Card, ordered him to be shot. Literally. I told him Sniper asked, and I said that he could if he wanted. Mighty proceeded to lose his shit. And that is where we pick up our Mighty story. Okay, we're going to introduce our players. After I call out your role, you know, give a little hi so people know your voice. I'm Alec. I'm going to be playing a waiting NAR Academy recruit, Ling Liao. Ninja Turtle will be playing Mighty Oaf.
Hi there.
Alex G will be playing me.
Hey, mates.
Mates. And Angix will be playing 1942 Sniper.
Yes.
And so it begins.
Way to operate with honor.
What am I going to tell him no for?
Business as usual.
Indeed it is. NAR has no honor, so anything goes, eh, mates?
You're not in our corp. You're not in our training program. You're not blue. You're not our friend or mate. We don't owe you anything, honor debts, or anything else.
Right. If that helps you sleep at night.
Believe it or not, I don't think about you when I go to sleep, mate. I'm not sure where you read this, but the server revolves around you. Must have been on Eve News 24.
Yeah, I read that. You smart for a CEO. Good at understanding what people say. Of course, when it's about just doing whatever you want, life becomes much easier.
State your case of why I should have told Sniper he wasn't allowed to shoot you, Mr. Honor.
Because 30 minutes ago I was NA.
30 minutes ago, I would have told him no. Are you in any now?
To allow me to pull out unmolested by your pilots would be the honorable course of action.
Why? You never asked for that.
I shouldn't have to ask, Alec. Remember this all potential Noir pilots? You're smart enough to know that.
No, you're dumb enough not to.
Aren't you? Just because you're pissed off, man, doesn't mean you can make shit up.
Which plays into the reason you got removed in the first place. You have no common sense of how to talk to people and what you are and are not entitled to.
I was respectful when I had to be, now I don't, right? You made that clear by authorizing a pilot I was blue with 30 minutes ago to attack me. Made abundantly clear by the fact that pilot was 20 jumps away when I was kicked. Any of your potential recruits should be horrified by this.
Or laughing?
Indeed, if they are as dumb as Alec, laugh all you want till it's your turn. And remember, it's you that give Noir its rep and name, not Alec. He's a solo pilot. Without you guys, he's just a troll? I'm assuming that's supposed to say troll.
Yeah, I assumed.
I'll redo that line.
No, you can keep it in. Keep going.
That can't control his temper. For the stage note, it was spelled T-O-L-L.
That'd be troll. You're not fit to contribute to the Red War has earned over the years. Complaining about it in Caffeine War will not change that.
It's the truth. You just admitted ordering your pilots to attack an ex-Corby for no reason other than you're upset. Boo-hoo.
I never ordered anyone to attack anyone.
Just trying to open people's eyes to your madness.
I simply wouldn't stop anyone that would kill you.
It's crazy to treat people like that, Alec.
Next time, hire us for an escort contract if you want protection while moving your stuff. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you, bro.
The honorable and fair thing to do would be to allow me to pull out, then treat me like anyone else.
I don't see any honor in that.
Then you're a bigger fool than your massive overreaction just made you look.
Also, every your is Y-O-U-R, just so we're clear.
I'm trying to emphasize that with my ers.
If I had made such a commitment, it would have been honorable to keep my word, but I never did. You just think you're entitled to safety. Well, you're not. If Sniper wants to kill you, he can try to kill you. Give me a reason not to let him.
Not to mention all that BS you spout about why Noir doesn't act in certain ways.
Maybe you should have been a nice person.
Because I'm ex-Noir, or NA, whatever.
Where does it say trainees get stuff? You're not entitled to anything, stop whining about it. It's sad. You make me sad for you.
That should mean I get honorable treatment. If you can't treat ex-members like that, why should you respect customers over your contracts?
Because they're paying me.
Not whining, Alec. Pointing out your flaws to other people you may choose to fuck over.
The Noir Academy is free. Go pay me some more money and I'll care about your feelings.
Paying is what makes you behave, right? Is it? Good advertising, Alec.
It's called being a mercenary.
Don't make yourself look retarded at all. Keep talking, man.
Yes, paying money will get me to do what you want. That's how being a merc works. That's what contracts are.
Sounds kinky. Sorry, I had to.
It's not my fault you did not do that and participate in contracts when you joined the mercenary training program of Noir Academy.
So someone paid you to not let me leave Cindy safely? I wasn't offered in the contract, and if you recall, I was top killer for RVB. Wow, there are just a number of grammatical inaccuracies in those sentences.
I think you think we're a knotted, don't shoot alliance, matey. Sickle Cell was top killer for RVB. Noir is an NBSI corp, and has been since day one.
Really? NBSI no matter what, eh, mate?
If you're an NRSI pilot, that's fine, but it's also not my problem. Join an alliance which shares your beliefs.
Alec, you just talk shit, man. You're all over the place. You expect pilots to behave a certain way. You expect people to do it the noir way. Yet when someone mentions no one is teaching the noir way, you rage boot. And you accuse without asking. You expect people to follow without leading. ...
And I stage note, while all this was going on, the CEO of the corp that he just joined, he rejoined his old corp, the one that tried out for us, came into the channel, saw what was going on, mailed me, literally begging me to mute or boot him from the channel so he would shut the fuck up and stop embarrassing them. Eventually I lied, but I wanted to make sure that we all had these chats that we could share with you, because, good lord.
Yeah, every line that Ninja Turtle read out there was spelled incorrectly, not because Alec can't spell, but because Mighty Oaf cannot type.
Our scripts are direct rips from the chat logs, people.
This is America. I kid you not. And we are lucky enough to have another dramatic reading for you, a bit of a shorter one, but nevertheless a goodie, coming up on the next installment, where we discuss some colorful Amazon reviews of EVE Online. This has been Declaration of War Podcast, episode 31. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, past episodes are available at www.noirmarks.com. We are also temporarily hosting latest podcast episodes at our troll website, www.noircloakyfaggots.com. The reason for this is our web admin, who is doing a revamp of noirmarks.com to better support the podcast, is moving house and will not be available for a little bit. So we are temporarily hosting the latest episodes, I believe it's 27 and onward, at this temporary website, where you can also post a whole bunch of bullshit about us if you want to. You can always reach Noir via our public channel, Cafe Noir, don't forget the dot at the end, and apply to join us or Noir Academy on our forums at www.noirmarks.com/forum.php.